down the highway, when suddenly a very large bunny hopped across the middle of the road. He swerved to avoid hitting the bunny, but unfortunately, it jumped right in front of his car and was hit. It starts out badly, but it gets better. Don't worry. So. Unfortunately, the bunny was hit. Basket of eggs flew everywhere. Now, the driver was now quite distraught, as you can imagine, quickly pulled over to the side of the road to see what had become of this bunny carrying the basket of eggs. And much to his dismay, the bunny was, in fact, the Easter Bunny, who was now quite obviously dead. The driver felt awful, understandably, and he began to weep in distress. Now, a woman was driving down the same highway and came across the man crying at the side of the road and pulled over to see what was wrong. And she stepped out of her car and asked him what was wrong, and he said, "I feel terrible. I accidentally hit the Easter Bunny and killed it. There may not be an Easter because of this. What am I supposed to do?" So the woman said, "Don't worry, I know exactly what to do." So she went to her car trunk and she pulled out a spray can and she walked over to the limp, lifeless bunny and sprayed the entire contents of the spray can onto the furry creature. And miraculously, the Easter Bunny sprung back to life, jumped up, gathered up all of the spilled eggs and candy, waved his paw at the two humans, and hopped down the road. Now, several yards away, the Easter Bunny stopped and turned around and waved again, and hopped several more yards, turned and waved again. The man was, as you can imagine, astonished and asked the woman, "What in heaven's name is in that spray can?" The woman turned the can around so the man could see the label, and it said, "Hair spray restores life to dead hair. Adds permanent wave." Yes, 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 yes. That may become the permanent Easter joke, so the joke will be the same joke every year. No. A joke on Easter Sunday because of any Sunday of any day of any day, any Sunday of the year, in the church it should peal with laughter because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, before we proceed, I just want to remind us all that children are welcome to remain with us throughout our worship service. In fact, we're going to invite them to stay with us. There's a table in the fireside room with quiet activities, so if your child or your family needs a little space and time back there, please join them, and we will all enjoy worship together this Easter Sunday morning. Please pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight, God, you who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Yes. So on this morning, the morning of Easter resurrection, the church celebrates the central defining moment of the Christian story. And it is right that we laugh and experience joy and high spirits. The resurrection stories from Scripture are sometimes strange, however, and they serve as a helpful reminder because as joyful as we are on Easter resurrection morning, that first morning did not begin with great joy. It began with uncertainty, it began with fear, and even with tears. So this day, rightly celebrated as the most joyous of the Christian year, did not start out that way at first. The empty tomb alone was not yet good news. So we know the general story if you've been at church really much at all in your life, or perhaps all of your life. After 3 years of itinerant preaching in ancient Palestine, Jesus taught and fed the hungry, healed the broken, broke rules all over the place, and confronted authorities. And then he was betrayed by a friend to the authorities that had been so offended by his ministry. He was arrested and quickly tried on trumped-up charges. He was executed publicly as a criminal, and he was quickly buried in a borrowed tomb on Friday. He was dead and buried, along with all of the shattered hopes of his now disheartened, grieving friends and followers. To all observers, this grand experiment of Jesus of Nazareth had ended in a dismal, tragic failure. Or so it seemed on Friday. Then we hear of this early morning scene recounted in all four of our Gospels in the Bible with some variations. And unlike those women who first journeyed to the ancient tomb, we've heard how the story ends. Unlike them, we've actually come to anticipate it. We buy lilies in advance. What is Easter without the smell of Easter lily filling the sanctuary, much to some people's allergies? We plan our worship ahead of time with special features. Some of us get new hats or new frocks. I don't know about you. It is great and necessary to plan, but I do think that all of our planning domesticates the resurrection a little bit. We take out the amazement and the confusion of that first resurrection, the surprise, the danger, even. The resurrection wasn't just joyful, it was perplexing. It was even scary. And in Matthew's version that we hear today, we even get an earthquake and guards fainting, frozen from fear. An angel like lightning greets the two Marys and in classic angelic fashion says, "Don't be afraid," because they are afraid. Don't be afraid. They hear the news that Jesus is risen, and they leave quickly with great joy and fear, we hear. And then when they meet the risen Jesus, who greets them and says, "Don't be afraid," it is this whole mixed bag of feelings. Yes, the amazement and the joy, but it's jumbled with the confusion and the fear. I wonder if that's what resurrection feels like. That first reading we heard today, one of the most popular poems by E.E. Cummings, seems so appropriate on Easter. Not only in what it says, but the way in which it says it. I can almost hear the words on the lips of those women, or better yet, on the lips of Jesus. "I who have died am alive again today. The ears of my ears awake, the eyes of my eyes are opened," full of joy and exuberance, but a little bit dazed and confused with uncapitalized words, no spacing after the punctuation, words out of order, some of them made up a little bit. Run it through your spell check sometime and your grammar check, and you can see all of the rules that E.E. Cummings breaks in just this one poem. And Easter breaks the biggest rule of all, the rule that death gets the final word. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where thy victory? God's answer, God's word, resurrection. I, for one, find the differing details in the resurrection stories endlessly fascinating, probably a good thing because I'm a pastor and I preach Easter every year, so I'd better find new details to endlessly fascinate me. And it is interesting to remember that in the four Gospels from the Bible, no one is actually portrayed as seeing the resurrection itself. Nowhere does it also indicate exactly when the moment of resurrection happened. Was it right before they showed up at the garden? Was it at 3 a.m.? Was it at midnight? We don't get those details. They simply went and found the empty tomb. Matthew's version that we hear today differs from all other three in this detail that's worth noticing. In Mark and Luke and John, the women arrive at the tomb and the stone is already rolled away. In Mark and Luke and John, the stone is already rolled away when they arrive. In Matthew, the tomb is still sealed with the stone. And apparently, the stone is rolled away in the presence of the women and the guards, opened by an earthquake and an angel. That struck me again because I think I have always suffered under the impression that the stone was rolled away first and then Jesus exited the tomb at an undisclosed time. I don't know why. I've heard all of these stories all of my life as well. But once again, here in Matthew, God confounds the rules, overturns our expectations of how things normally have to work by emptying the tomb before opening it. It is as if it needs to be underlined in bold, italic, capital letters that despite every appearance, a crucifixion, a death, a burial, a stone-sealed tomb, despite all of those appearances, by a power that can be God's own alone, Jesus is already alive. No rolled-away stone necessary, already alive. Anyone here a fan of the series on AMC, The Walking Dead?
Yes.
I guess we needn't go any farther then, need we, Dylan? Okay, I'm just going to say, Easter sermon, Easter bunny joke, zombie illustration. So just stick with me. Okay, all right. Okay, so I am a fan of the Walking Dead series as well. If you're not familiar with it, it actually is a quite brilliant series with very rich characters, but it is about this dystopic future of, well, zombies. There you go. They're called the Walkers. Now, the title is The Walking Dead. And it wasn't until the end of the first season or somewhere in the second season, Dylan might be able to tell us exactly where, but I finally got the double entendre, the double meaning in the title, The Walking Dead. Because in an episode, they made the unpleasant discovery that someone did not need to be bitten to become one of the undead. Stick with me, this is gonna get better. One did not need to, yes, this is like Good Friday, we're getting there, okay. Because even if they weren't bitten, if they died by any other means, they still came back as undead. Because somehow the death had infected the water, the soil, the food chain, somehow, that it wasn't just the so-called walkers who were walking dead, it was the living themselves who had death. They were already had the death within them. So friends, we live in the wake of resurrection. So let me proclaim to you on this Resurrection Sunday morning that if you, if I, if we have embraced the promise of the good news of a God of resurrection, just like Jesus Christ, whatever superficial appearances may be to the contrary, we are already alive. We are already alive. Despite appearances sometimes. Exactly. He knows. The compelling and always new message of the resurrection is that God's answer to the greatest losses and failures that we can experience, God's answer to death itself even, is that we are already alive in God. Despite the appearance of our stone-cold tombs sealed tightly, anyone have a place like that in their life? A tomb that feels sealed tightly? Anywhere in your heart, in your life? Maybe it is dead and cold. Nobody's getting in and nobody's getting out. There is no sign of life there, is there? What could possibly be alive? Here is one of the most important truths of the good news of the resurrection. The resurrection doesn't wait for us to get ready or even for us to notice it. If it did, quite frankly, it would never happen. We are never ready to welcome such an experience. Maybe it wakes us up quietly stirring in the night. Maybe it strikes us like lightning. Maybe it unsettles us like an earthquake. The new life of and in God has already begun. We are already alive. Friends, on this blessed Easter morning, ready or not, resurrection is upon us, whether we choose it or not, whether we feel it or not, whether we see it or not. In the end, it is God's work and God's promise. Beloved friends, on this day and always, may we know ourselves already alive. Please pray with me. God, you are the God of resurrection. God of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first and not the last, the first fruits, and we are those who follow. God, let us, by the grace of your Spirit, set aside our own expectations of what and when new life happens, and lay hold of the claim to your promise that in you and through you and with your power and grace, we are already alive. In your holy name we pray. Amen.